How many believes God is a mighty God? Amen. How many believe God is a healer? Amen. How many believe God can do great things through us with the Holy Ghost? Amen. But we have to be filled first. Amen. We want to come to church sometimes and we want to just kick back and let somebody else do all the work. That's what you're doing right now. Amen. Otherwise, you'd all be standing, amening and shouting, and service would be over with, right? It would be amazing what would happen if we would actually do that. If we would begin to stand on our testimony. You know, there's a song, an old song, about standing on something about the testimony. I remember I sung it as a little bitty kid, and I can remember my grandpa would give us, you know, he said, standing on your testimony is like standing on the Word of God. You're standing on His promises. And the promises that have been fulfilled. That's what your testimony is. I just want to encourage us here for just a moment before I get preaching. A friend of mine, a young lady that I grew up with and around, she had been admitted to the hospital and things were looking dark and wasn't looking good for her. She had blood clots and they weren't sure what was going to happen. They sent her from one hospital, said, "We don't know. There's nothing we can do. We're going to have to send you to another hospital." And I just want to kind of encourage you because I want you to realize how big of a God that I serve. And whenever we begin to look at these things, we begin to rejoice. And when we begin to rejoice, the power and the presence of God comes down because we're giving Him something that He is worthy of, even though He's not done anything for us personally yet tonight. You know, David, I'm going to try and get through this here in just a second. David, he said it's important that we worship God with stringed instruments and with cymbals. Amen. Brother Jason knows where I'm going because I shared this with him the other day. All these different things, God, he said with the timbrel. Where's that tambourine at? You know, here it is. Here we go. You know, get that rhythm going, right? But that's not all he said. We have allowed the charismatic movement to steal our shout and our dance. We have. Oh, that's just for the old honky-tonk, and that's for this, and that's for that. Pick up your Bible and read it. Because when we begin to give God what's worthy, what's due His name, when we begin to put our energy into worship, you know, we see, no wonder, God said this. He said, if you have faith, if you can have the faith like a child does, that's why He said, told the disciples, don't turn them away. You got faith like them, you can see things happen. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Whenever I tell London something, she buys it hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because she has faith in me. If we have faith in God and we begin to give Him praise and worship, why is it David's reign was so blessed? Because he gave God everything. We find here the story I'm telling you, the testimony here. Jesse, things were looking bad. And I seen her sister Amber post about it. And she said, I've been told that I can share this on Facebook. And once it's on Facebook, it's public knowledge to everyone. FYI. That's why I'm testifying about it. Known them girls my whole life. Things aren't looking good for Jesse. They send her to the hospital. They get in there and they said, well, we're going to, you know, try and put her on medication, try and do all these things. But her husband couldn't stay the night. No one was allowed to be there. I was praying. As soon as I heard it, I started praying. And I started asking the Lord, please move, please move. And we went to revival service, and they requested prayer for her there. And people were praying, Brother Jason. There was people that were willing to stand up in the middle of the gap. And I was just watching, waiting for a new update. And then all of a sudden, the next morning, an update came out. She'd also had a couple blood clots that had passed through her heart and had caused a weak spot that they were going to have to go in and operate on. But the doctor came in the next morning and said, well, sis, you're going to get to go to a normal room. And you know that operation that we were talking about going to have to happen for your heart? Somehow, something happened and your heart strengthened in the night. And that spot that we were worried about is no longer bad. We're going to just put you on some medication and you're going to get to go home. She went home the other day. She didn't have to have any operations. I'm here to tell you, when someone stands up and someone steps out in faith and we begin to believe in an almighty God, I'm here to tell you, great things can happen. Amen. And that's leading up to my message here tonight. Is the fact is we've got to be willing to act, amen, on our faith. Even when it doesn't seem possible, we've got to step up. We got to stand up and step out and believe in an almighty God that died on an old rugged cross for this old sinner boy right here. But we've got to begin to move out of our comfort zone and our place of complacency and say, almighty God, I believe in you. Stand with me tonight and turn to John chapter number 5. In verse number 1. Hallelujah. Amen. Feels pretty good for the second service of camp meeting. Amen. In case you didn't know, a camp meeting started this morning, officially, in my opinion, because there's not going to be a break in services. So I'm just going to go ahead and call it what it is, Brother Robert. I mean, I believe in this service right now, Brother Robert ain't going to have to deal with the head cold or whatever's going on, because we serve a God that is able. And because Brother Robert didn't make an excuse and say, even though it was his turn to lead songs, say, well, I just can't do it. He came back there and handed me his book and said, well, here we go. And what's happening? Amen. God, amen, is going to give us the strength. Amen. Amen. We find here in John chapter number 5 and verse number 1. And after this, there was a feast. Oh, man. Sometimes we just want to get stuck on the feast. Let's go eat. Amen. I seen a really cool Father's Day thing yesterday. And it said, Father's Day. Dads like their tools. Dad likes his clean vehicle. And dad likes this. And then it gets down to this one part. And dad likes steak. Like, it was just steak. I was like, man, that's me. Steak. That's not what we're here to talk about tonight. See, I got you guys cackling. You're up. Blood's pumping. There was the Feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep's market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In verse number 3, in these lay a great multitude. Amen. Say that with me tonight. A great multitude. Say that again. How many was there? Hey, you guys are catching on. Are you sure there was a? There's a great multitude we find here. And we find that in this great multitude, there was impotent folk of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, how long have you been waiting? And the waters never stir. Because sometimes, I mean, I'm going to get there. Grab a hold of this. We find that they were all waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel would go down at a certain season into the pool and trouble the water. Whosoever the first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years this man suffered. Set or laid by the water. And every time someone would get in there, just go with me for just a second. Down, let's get in the time machine and travel down here. Every time someone would get healed, this guy named Bob, we're going to call him, would holler out, hey, Fred, I just seen you got healed. You made it in before I did. Can you do me a favor? Can I have your spot? So what would happen is, just kind of follow along with me here. This is from my camping days that I've only used once or twice. They'd grab Bob's mat. They'd roll it out for him. Here we go. Stay, Matt. And he'd get moved a little closer. Well, Susie got healed. Susie, Can you move my mat? And the mat would get moved a little closer. Some of us are in this position in our life. We don't want to be in the water. We just want to take the person's place that just got healed. I want to be the next prayer request. Man, come on, church. That's all we want to be. I don't want to see my miracle. I don't want to see my miracle happen because then I don't get the attention. Imagine Bob in this predicament. We find here that he laid there 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Amen. And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately, amen, shout immediately with me. One more time. Not next service. Not next year. But immediately. Immediately, he was made whole. And took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. Praise the Lord that there is still a God here in 2021. Amen. There is still a God that is looking to make people whole. There is still a God, amen, that's sending forth His virtue and His Spirit into this world to deliver us from all forms, amen, of disease, amen, and all kinds of diverse problems. We still serve a God, amen, that is a miracle worker. I want to simply preach on this simple thought, real quick. Will someone stand up and step out? There's two things this man could not do. But when it was asked of him, he immediately tried to obey. Because he tried, his faith began to take hold of the strength of the Spirit of God. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence here. I pray, God, that You would begin to move in the hearts and lives of Your people. God, I pray that You begin to draw us up to this altar. I pray that You begin to anoint my lips. Lord, anoint my mind, God, that I would speak the things that You place in my heart. I pray as I share Your word, God, that it would not fall, God, short, but it would go to the exceeding and abundant position of which You desire, Lord, I pray. That You would help hearts to be changed, lives to be challenged. God, help us to leave different than whence we came. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Will someone stand up and step out? This man, in the position that he was in, he had went down. He'd been there for 38 years. Now, how many has ever been stuck? Like stuck in an automobile or four-wheeler or anything in the mud? Anybody here? I know Brother Charles hasn't. But, oh, Sister Janie left. Man, I missed my opportunity. What do you feel like when you're stuck? You feel like all hope is right there? Is you've got this under control? No, what usually happens is we're like, oh boy, what am I going to do now? I don't have a rope. I don't have a cable. I don't have a come along. I don't have a chain. I've only got a two-wheel drive vehicle to try and get back here and get this thing out. What do? You feel hopeless. That's the position that this man was. 38 years. Now, he was there because he was looking for an answer. We find that he had been there for 38 years. He had watched 38 other people. The scripture brings out that once a season, rains will come down and stir the water. He's watched all these other people get healed. Man. And he just watched it happen. Now, we do the same thing in the house of God. I'm so glad Pastor Dunn, Lord bless you, testimony service, because it sure helped me with my message tonight. Whenever it's time for us to move, we don't move. We get the deer in the headlights look. Me, boy? Are you sure? Me? Yes, you. Let them sing the chorus one more time. Let Pastor say that one phrase that he's already said 50 times one more time, and I'll obey. We're looking for a sign. God's already given you the sign. He's already spoken with his word and with his voice. And we still set aside. And we wonder why we're still fighting the same devil, the same problem, and he's never healed and he's never moved in the situation. I'm here to tell you why. It's because we've not stood up and we've not stepped out. I'm here to tell you, as our church in Calvary Lighthouse, amen, here in Chelsea, Oklahoma, there are things God has done in this sanctuary that is great. All because there was someone that heard the call and said, I'll stand up and I'll step out. Just as Peter did. Amen. In the midst of the storm, he had to stand up and step out into the water. Amen. Here tonight, I'm calling out to someone that it's time you roll up the bed mat and you stand up and step out. Amen. Give the Lord praise here for just a moment. Amen. If you were given a scorecard on what you've given God in this service, what would it read? I've had to ask myself that question every service for the past 3 years, Pastor. Because of how God's been moving here in this place. If I was given a scorecard, what would my score be? Amen. Some of us here already are already thinking about, and some of those that might not even be here, maybe they'll see this, maybe this is for them on Facebook. Some of us this week might make an excuse and say, well, Brother Jason, I just can't make it. I got to work the next day. I can't make that night service just because I'm going to be tired the next day. Amen. I want to tell you right now, that excuse is an excuse of the enemy of your soul, because there is something in this service that's going to deliver you and strengthen you, but you can't get it if you're not here. So I want to challenge you. Are you going to be one that's going to sit with a long face and say, well, I don't know what this guy's problem is? Or are you going to be someone that's going to stand up and step out in faith? Because I'm here to tell you, every time Jesus Christ said, as your faith is, so be it, we find that there was dead that was raised. We find those that were demon-possessed that was delivered. And then we find everywhere throughout the Scripture where people acted and stood up and stepped out in their faith, there was a miraculous miracle. Hallelujah. We find this man was caught later, and he was carrying his bed. We find in verse number 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Man, sometimes the church people are some of the worst. Amen. I don't know if I'm getting help here or not. Because they see somebody doing something different, something they don't think should be cool or kosher. They're like, what is your problem? All you are is a water gun, not from heaven, but from the pits of hell. Because more Christians cause more damage to other Christians because of a critical spirit of, well, they got blessed and I didn't. And I don't think they should have done it in that way. Next thing you know, they're not at camp meeting. They're not at any of the rest of the revival services. They found an excuse, Brother Jason, to sit at their job instead of coming to the house of God, even though they only had 30 minutes to get cleaned up. Let me tell you, God don't care. As long as you're available, that's all that matters. Man, it's tight in here. Or I'm just hot, I don't know. Amen. Man gets caught by the Christian folk saying, what in the world are you doing? Because Jesus told him, roll up your bed and don't come back. But go and be a blessing somewhere. You say, well, I don't bring anything to the service. Amen. I don't know why I'm preaching all this. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to benefit. who I'm going to bless, let me tell you, there's someone that's going to come in with a situation that you might not even know about, but there might be a word that you say to them, a smile you offer, that all of a sudden begins to bring joy, hope, and deliverance because they see someone that's willing to stand up and step out in the midst of a world that is perverse, a world that is troubled. I'm here to tell you, be somebody that's willing to stand up for the goodness of God. Someone that's willing to testify for what He's done. Someone that's willing to run, shout, amen, and dance in the midst of a holy, almighty God. Do I have anybody in the house that's willing to rise up? Stand up. Take up your bed and say, Lord, I'm done living here. I'm done staying in this place of discouragement, of deception. Amen. I'm done. God did not come and call us the Christians of... Well, I've got to be nice about this. Call us the Christians of disappointment. The Christians of not doing anything. The Christians of, well, I just don't care. That's just Brother Lucas up there, and that's okay. I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for him. He's already patting me on the back. Amen, telling me to go a little farther. But we still say, well, I just had a bad day. This man had a bad day for 38 plus years. He was there for 38 years. Get your head around that. It's a lot of bad days. Not only that, but all the multitude. How many was there? A great multitude. So, the scripture, just go with me for just a second. Jesus, when he fed the multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children, that's only considered a multitude. There was a great multitude. Amen, Brother Timmy, come here. Titus, come here. London, come here. Lydia, come here. Arian, come here. Come here, kids, hurry. Addison, come here, babe. All right, I want you to stand right here, London. I want you to stand right there. Titus, get down on your knees right here. Addison, just stand right there. Arian, over here, get down on your knees right there. All right, Lydia, you stand this way and look at Sister Shelton there. All right, London, lay down right there, babe. Lay down on the ground. London's on the bed. There's all these other people. We've got the blind person, the deaf person. I ain't going to talk about that person. We've got the person that doesn't have any legs. And I'm Jesus. And I've visited the place where there's a multitude of sick people. There's no whole people here. Well, she's not looking for anything. She's satisfied with getting her free piece of bread a day and her cup of water from the local church. Well, he's not too dissatisfied with the coins he's able to collect because of his disability. Now, I'm not making fun. I want you to get a hold of this. Some of us use a disability as a crutch. Well, that's just the way I am. Let me tell you, if you would begin to realize you serve a God that heals and delivers from all disabilities and dysfunctions. Well, it's just an eating disorder, and I can't eat this, and I can't eat that. I've been rebuking that over my daughter ever since the day I found out that she had it. Why? Because I believe in an almighty God. But he went around and stepped over. This man had been there for 38 years. You know he had to be right at the edge. Some of us are right at the edge of our miracle, but we don't want deliverance because of the attention that it gets us. But we find that there was a man that was there at the pool that was ready to move out. I'm here to tell you, baby, it's time that you pack your bags. It's time that you give the devil a notice and say, I'm no longer going to live here anymore. We find Jesus makes his way, and he tells the man, it's time to get up. It's time to take your bed, and it's time to go back. Amen. To a place you ain't been in 38 plus years. Thank you, kids. And what do we find? That nobody else was touched. Nobody else was healed because, Brother Jason, they were satisfied. I'm here to tell you, for camp meeting 2021, I'm not satisfied for what I got last year. I'm not satisfied, Pastor, what I got this morning. But I want something new. I want something fresh. Amen. I want to be filled up and overflowing. When Jesus went to a wedding, his mother told him, hey, son, we're out of wine. What can we do? He went out and told them. She told the servants, whatever he says, do it. So he sent them after some pots. Those pots were made to purify yourself before you went into the feast. Had them bring them up. Fill them all the way to the top. No room for any additive. And said, go serve it. Go pour it in the other pitchers. What do we find? It was great and better than ever before. Amen. The governor of the house said, why'd you save the best to last? I'm going to tell you here in Calvary Lighthouse Church, you might be wondering, when am I ever going to get that blessing? I'm going to tell you, stand up and step out, because your opportunity is now. Christ did not call us to be a bunch of I can't Christians. Say that again. Christ didn't call us to be a bunch of I can't Christians. We find in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. I. Who can? Timothy Byron can. Titus Pepper can. Brother John Scudder can. Amen. I believe London Faith can. Amen. I believe Brother Rick Shelton can. Why? Because of Christ. It's not my strength. Amen. When the devil tries to throw the tired card in your lap this week, tell him, I'm not going in my strength. I'm going through the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen. It strengtheneth me to overcome not only the things in this world, but the things of this world and outside until I get to heaven. We find he's called us. Amen. We get in the position and the place where we're leaning and relying on his strength. And we stand up and we step out. And we get transferred. Amen. From the place of this world into heavenly places. We find that promise in the scripture. That when we begin to enter in, he will transfer us into setting with that heavenly realm. Amen. When the Holy Ghost and the Shekinah glory comes down. Praise God like he's worthy. Come on, now give him your best praise. Has he done anything for you? Has he saved you? Has he given you life? Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, if he's given it to you, you ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some glory. Amen. Because he's given you another opportunity to lift up his name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Is that all we got for him? He's only done a little bit. I ain't got nothing else for him. I'm here to tell you, the enemy of your soul would like nothing more than to keep you locked down. I find, this ain't even in my notes. I'm going to have to turn there. Amen. Turn to, hallelujah. Amen. I find, in Luke's gospel, chapter number 4 and verse number 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight. Amen. To the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, we've got to remember who we've been Heavenly Father, that has called us to stand up and step out. We find in John that Jesus said to the disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." It's not "I will think about it." You know what "I will think about it" means? Somebody says, "Hey, you going to come over tomorrow?" "Well, I'm going to have to think about it." You know what that actually means? Nope. That's the polite way of saying no. It's nope. Not going to happen. Not going to think about it, because I already have. It's the truth. We humans like to try and soften the blow. That's why we still have our petty sins. Don't fall out with me. So when we get mad at mom or dad because they told us we couldn't do something, I'll just do them right here. I'll do this and I'll do that, and we'll not even know about it. Be careful. You're standing up and stepping out, but you're going the wrong direction. Amen. We'll have to hurry up. You guys are about to shoot me out of the pulpit. Amen. We find, "And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." We find that you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you want to see things happen. And we find in Matthew 10, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease." What did Jesus do? I've never preached a message on this. I might one of these days on a free trial. You know, you ever went and got a sample of something and you're like, "Well, here, why don't you try a free trial of this? It's only good for a limited amount of time. And if you like what you have been able to taste and see and receive, you're able to subscribe for this for $39.95 a month. No early cancellations allowed." But that's not how we treat God. We get a sample and we're just like, "I'm just going to ride this sample. We're going to keep changing the ball cap. We're going to go buy them. Get another free sample. Get our free snack. Go out. We're in Sam's. Oh, there's a coat area over here. Go over there and put on a coat. It's 110 degrees outside, but we got a coat on. We go get another free sample." Some of us here in church, I know it's funny, some of us keep using the Spirit of God that way. "I'm going to keep playing in my sin. I'm going to change my garment a little bit, and I'm going to go up to the altar, or I'm going to sit in my pew, and I'm just going to get another free sample." I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, church people, amen, I'm not talking just the young or just the middle-aged or the older class. Talking to all of us. We got to stand up. And we got to step out. Because when we activate our faith, great things happen. Man. Follow me with me just for just a moment. And Jesus also told them down in verse 7, he says, "And go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What would happen if we would come into the house of God realizing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? We would come in the church house just like David did. You know how he came into the house? I was in the midst of a giant trying to slay me. God delivered me. Why was he so joyful when he entered God's house? Because he knew what it meant when you would stand up and step out. Why did Jesus have the man pick up his bed? Follow me with this for just a moment. It's because he did not want him coming back to the place he had just been delivered from. Some of you, God delivers you. Oh, I stand up and testify. God's done something great. It ain't 24 hours later. Brother Robert, we've laid the bed. Whew, back out at the pool. Saying, well, I sure hope he comes by tomorrow. Because I've already failed. I'm not off base here. I might be preaching right where you're living. I know I've lived there, Brother Robert. It's not a place to live. It's a place you constantly have infirmities, sicknesses, discouragement. You develop all kinds of toxic traits. What's that? That's some of the stuff you've been acting when Pastor asked you to do something. Sure hope you don't ask me to do this again. I'm going to do such a bad job. Oh, man. I clean in the classroom. Amen. He wasn't going back. Once you've been delivered for something, quit going back and sleeping in the same place you've been delivered from. Amen. Amen. It's time to pack up the bed and move out. Why? Because deliverance is in the house. You've been fighting the same sickness. You've been fighting the same battle. Deliverance is present. It's time to move out. God is on the move. The water is troubled and it's time to get in. Get ready to come up and play, hon. It's time to get in. But if we don't get into the troubled water, look at it this way. Peter got into the troubled water. We find that Elisha and Elijah, they both smote a brook or a river there, and the waters parted. We find that Moses went up with a staff and smote the Red Sea, and it parted. We find that he walked up to a rock and smacked it, and water came forth. But they did it all by standing up, being the first person to move. As I've preached here tonight, no doubt there's been ones that's hearts have been troubled because don't like what I'm saying. You don't like how I'm sweating. Don't let that discourage you, but instead check your heart. Because God's got a blessing for you. But it's time to roll up the bed. Move out of your place of comfort zone. Go ahead and come to the piano, huh? And step out. I mean, I preach my heart to you, church, if you'd stand. The waters were troubled. Peter stepped out of the boat. But if he would have never stepped out of the boat in the midst of trouble, in a trying time, he would have never stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel the way he did. Now grab a hold of this, because right now you might be in the moment of a transition or a trial. This week might be a trial because I really can't go that many days without working. Let me tell you, God will bless you. How much do you want to see your children get blessed? Do anything I could. You know, today was Father's Day. London over there, wherever she's hiding, she makes her daddy proud. You know, Father's Day isn't easy for everyone. Some have lost their fathers. Some fathers have lost their children. Some fathers have some children, but not all their children. Some fathers don't have custody of their children. The court system didn't go their direction. There's people that are evil out there. But I want to tell you this evening that there is a Heavenly Father that is looking at each and every one of our hearts and our lives and saying, child, I want you to take that first step. London, come here, baby. I remember when London took her first step. And it all started with this. Come here. The calling of a father. Church, I want to call to you as a friend, as someone that's in the ditch. Please don't struggle, but instead, stand up and step out with me. Amen. Right, here's my altar call. Here's your window of opportunity to come out and seek deliverance, to seek strength, and see God do a mighty and marvelous work.